self-consciousness fell away from me, that hypersensitivity, that hyper-concern about what I think you think about me, that hyper-concern about what I think about me. All of those things were masked. They didn't go away. They're masked. It's temporary. And but this is a feeling that I couldn't wait to go with. And I don't know whether I was alcoholic before I took that drink or if I was alcoholic right after I took that drink. And I don't know what point I became alcoholic, because I don't engage in the debate. I have some ideas. But I don't know if I was if I drank alcoholically from that moment on, because I drank so enthusiastically from that moment on. And it is impossible to tell if you can moderate your drinking if you're not trying to moderate it. And it's impossible to tell if you can stop drinking altogether if you don't try to stop drinking. So even in our book, it says that many of our founders thought that they could have stopped drinking early in their drinking careers, as though we have no way of proving it. And they can't prove it for the same reason I can't prove it, is we didn't try it until it was too late. Why would I not do this with what it's doing for me? So I began to drink heavily and regularly right away. But it looked like, you know, it looked like it was college. So to me, it looked like I was drinking a lot like most of the other people. And but people began to grow up and get lives and get families and do stuff. And I'm just not, I'm still weak, stupid, and irresponsible. I went my first day of school at college. I went to the school. I got a little lost. I was commuting, living at home, going to Middle Tennessee State University. But this just explains how most of my life has gone. I didn't know where to park, so I was running a little late. I couldn't find the building where my class was, so I'm running a little later. I finally get to the building and to the class, and it's already started. The door's closed. It had one of those little square windows like you had in the old buildings. And I peek in there, and I see the class, and I see the professor talking to the class. And I can't go in because I'm going to be too embarrassed. I'm afraid. I'm too self-conscious. I don't want to draw that type of attention to myself. So I don't go in. And I never went back. And I can't tell you, both again, literally, and that's certainly analogous to so many things in my life where I could not step over the line for fear of embarrassing myself. At 6 months sober, and what you can tell is, I say, my story, I'm going to do what you ask me to do. I'm just not going to do it in any particular order. I say, my story's like a Quentin Tarantino movie. There's just no time and space continuum, and we'll just go back and forth, so you ride with me. So right now, I'm 6 months sober, and I'm sitting in a meeting, and this is the first time at 6 months sober that I was struck with the fact, because I was kind of loving AA, and I'll circle back in a minute, but I'm going to meetings and going home. And I'm there a little earlier than normal, like I got there before the Serenity Prayer for a change. And I realize these people are talking to each other. The people in the meeting seem to have relationships. They seem to be talking to each other between meetings. And that was news to me. And at the end of the meeting, this was a Saturday lunchtime meeting, 11:30 meeting, and at the end of the meeting, after the Lord's Prayer, somebody said, hey, we're all going to lunch. Who wants to go? Man, I desperately wanted to go. Desperately. And so I got in my car to go. They were headed over to the Shoney's just a couple of miles from the clubhouse where I was going to the meeting, and I got about halfway there, and I turned off and went home. And the next week, I did the same thing. I desperately wanted to go, but I got about halfway there and turned off and went home. And because I was afraid that I would get to the restaurant and there would be six people already sitting at a table for six. And I wouldn't know if they really meant me. I wouldn't know whether to go up and wedge a chair in and crowd them. I wouldn't know, wasn't willing to have what I perceived as an awkward moment. I wasn't willing to risk it, so I just didn't go. And so what I needed was a couple of guys to come over to me after the meeting and go, Steve, we've been talking, man. We really want you to go to lunch with us. And we're just arguing over who gets to sit with you. And then I would have gone, and by the way, I would have dominated the conversation at the table, because you would have removed those barriers that stopped me. You know, our friend Lyle says he'd rather be dead than embarrassed, and I think that's the way I was approaching things. Because what I think you think has always been the most important thing in my life.